to 14. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. So we get today a fairly detailed account of the story of the birth of Jesus. All the key characters are there, Mary and Joseph on their way to Bethlehem. We've got the shepherds out in the fields, and we've got the angelic host proclaiming God. The ones we don't have yet are the three magi, the wise men. They come later on in the story. But all of these people are on a journey. Mary and Joseph are on their way to Bethlehem because they have to. Everybody was required to be registered. And the registration would be a bit like the census that's taken in our times now, but it had two key purposes. From the results of the census, the emperor would be able to work out how many people there were willing or unwilling to be a part of his army. He was also able to work out from the registration just how much he would be expecting in people's tax that year as well. So it was a fairly significant thing. Everybody was on a journey. And Mary and Joseph make their way to a town called Bethlehem, or City of David, as it's called. And the word Bethlehem translates as a house of bread, which may have a bit more significance later on in the life and ministry of Jesus. And as we've probably all seen in countless nativity plays beforehand, there's no room for them in the inn. Mary and Joseph go to the stable behind the inn. The town is so full because it was a legal requirement for everybody to be registered. And the only place they've got is with the animals. In the dirt, in the cold, the Son of God is born. And then the good news travels. It travels out to the shepherds in the fields beyond Bethlehem. They would have been the lowest members of society, doing quite a dirty job for very low wages, having to watch over the flocks of the sheep that were owned by somebody else, keeping them safe from predators. And it's into this ordinary scene full of poverty that God's grace steps in, because it's to the shepherds that the angels appear with the good news. God is born in poverty in a stable, and the majesty and the glory of that coming is shared with the lowest members of society, the shepherds, very ordinary people, people just like you and me, who were trusted to bear good news, glad tidings of the birth of the Son of God. It's proof, I think, that God can do extraordinary things with very ordinary people. God doesn't need to be some kind of superhero coming down out of the sky to save everyone and everything. God is prepared to be born in complete poverty, and God is prepared to be like one of us, because God knows what it's like to be us. Jesus knew the full run of human emotions, great joy, but also rejection and betrayal as well. And if we're ever thinking in life that nobody has been in a situation that we've experienced before, I think we can also say that God has been there. God knows exactly what it's like, because God has chosen to be one of us. And maybe that's a sign of hope for those of us who might find Christmas a bit difficult, for those of us who maybe are not able to join with family and friends, maybe we're not able to see children or have loved ones around us. There can be so many different reasons why people find this particular year, time of year, particularly tough. But God chose to appear in the ordinary. And in the ordinariness, the humdrum every day of our lives, God is there. God is there rejoicing with us. God is there waiting with us. But God is also there sharing our sorrows and our disappointments with us. So as we picture the manger scene, exactly as we have here, baby Jesus lying in the straw in the crib, he's surrounded by love, his family, and those who are drawn by a message from God to come and see him. But remember that we have to move beyond the manger scene, because a baby doesn't stay as a baby forever. Jesus eventually grew up, became a man, and we know exactly what he went through. The manger gives way to the cross. Maybe it's too comfortable for us to keep Jesus as a baby. It's a really safe scene. It's often a scene we find ourselves looking at, gazing on, and finding our part in the scene. But how often do we move beyond that and journey to the cross with Jesus? Because on that cross is our hope. Jesus, the hope of the nations, the hope of creation, the hope of you and I. If God was prepared to give so much of himself and be born in poverty, then surely that means in return we owe God our allegiance and our very lives as well. God has been there before us and given us the best of himself in the redeeming gift of Jesus, the Word made flesh. God doesn't ask for much in return beyond that we try to love God, but in doing that, we also try to love each other. Not always difficult, not always easy for some families at this time of year. But the redeeming love of God is what is given to us through God giving himself in the manger, but on the cross as well. So let's move beyond the manger and journey into the life and the ministry of Jesus, because that life is a life that's been freely given. It's a life that gives us an opportunity every day to make a fresh start, to journey with Jesus through his life, and in return, let him be a part of our lives as well. And as we go on that journey beyond the manger scene, we'll discover afresh that relationship that God wants to have with each one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.